Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 6 a.m. Atlanta. Time to get your day started. With John and Hugh.
Hugh Douglas.
Good googly moogly.
A three-time Pro Bowler. And John Fricke.
You got serious butthurt.
A man who's watched the Pro Bowl at least three times.
Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I feel like I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's a Friday, September the 25th, a Falcons Friday, and welcome to the Mobile Kia Studios. John Fricke, Hugh Douglas, John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I think we're going to have something to talk about over the next 4 hours. One or two little itty-bitty things, like everything, I think. Hugh Douglas, what is up?
Good morning, John Fricke. Good morning, Atlanta. It's Friday. We got college football, well, SEC football this weekend. It's going down.
Yeah, how about that? We got SEC football. We've got the Falcons. We got the Braves. We got United. We were sitting around worried about whether or not we'd have sports at one point, weren't we? Well, we got it.
Listen to you. Always worrying about something, but now you want to act like everything's caught. Everything, nothing to see here. Everything's fine.
I got word late last night that one of my other teams, and as people know, we all have, more than one team. And in my career, I'm pretty partial to the San Diego State Aztecs. Go Aztecs, go. DeMonte Casey's old school, where I used to be the play-by-play guy. I got word last night the Aztecs are playing this year. Forget about the Pac-12. Mountain West Conference is playing. I'm like,
All right. Congratulations.
I know.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, that's my late night, because normally on a college football Saturday, I'll sit up to, midnight or 1, watching probably the only person in Atlanta that watches Mountain West Conference football. But that's okay. It's all right. It's something that I enjoy doing. I know the league and know the teams. And so that's, we got college football. It's all I know. But it is a Falcons Friday. Hugh, and I have a note here. I was going to save it for 7 o'clock. But, I just kind of got to go there. Because yesterday, I'm getting a lot of work done in my house, right?
Yeah.
And so some of the guys are asking, we talk sports. The guys that come in that are painters or, the guys that are putting in my floors or whatnot. One of them is a huge Atlanta United fan, and one of them that was coming over yesterday doing a little bit of work on the house was a sports fan of Atlanta, and he's a Falcons fan, and he was just raising cans, it's an overstatement, but he was really, like you and me and everybody else, unhappy about the way the Falcons game ended against Dallas and the start of the season here. And at one point, we were just kind of chatting, and he looked at me and said, is Sunday's game make or break? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, is it make or break? And I kind of thought for a second, I went, why is it awfully early to be make or break for game 3?
Yeah, it is, John, but, when your favorite, you had the debacle that you had last week, you got people, saying some of the things that they said about you. Yeah, it's kind of that we're there. I mean, let's just be real. We've been trying to, be courteous as much as we possibly can, but there's no denying that wasn't a good look. It was not a good look Sunday. It was not a good look at all Sunday. So, yeah, it is. Because now, like I said, it's one of those things, John, where everything is magnified. You know what I mean? That's just like when you ask one of your kids, hey, did you eat the cookies out of the cookie jar? And they say, no, I didn't touch them. Now you're looking at the cookie jar, you watching. to see what's going on. You don't know for sure, but you're watching to see, and you're looking at everything that is happening, everything that's going on. So, yeah, it's one of those situations, John. I think so. I think that however this plays out, you know, it's going to be magnified, and you're going to be looking and evaluating everything. A heightened sense of awareness, I should say.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's a good way to put it. And I said, yeah, you know, Abe just got in my ear and says, it can be break but not make. Yeah, okay. But I understand that, you know, he's not necessarily wrong about that. However, you know, if you go with the Keanu Neal, we're 1-0 thing, and the way the schedule, because I know that there's spin going on out here. Look, everybody understands. There's spin going on. Hey, look at the schedule moving forward. You've got, you know, a couple of games with Carolina. You got a game with Denver. They're all beat up. They're not going to have this guy or that guy or this guy. You know, you could actually go on a run, which, by the way, happens to be true. We've had Green Bay's number in the past. They're not world beaters. They may be without Davante Adams. I'm like, well, we're without about 9 guys, too. Let's keep that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's dealing with injuries. But, you know, listening to D-Led, you know, talk to Dukes and Bell yesterday, and they talk about the coverage and all this other stuff. To me, it comes down to, you know, coverage and pass rush go hand in hand. I mean, and I think that, you know, the pass rush, it could be better. It could definitely be better to help that secondary out. But it's a lot going on with this defense, man. And it's not fixed. I mean, it's not fixed. And you got a team coming in here that's playing with a lot of confidence right now with a really, really good defense. So it's gonna be a challenge. No doubt about that, John. It's gonna be a challenge.
Yeah, anybody thinks that the Bears are gonna roll over and the Falcons are gonna finally just storm the field. You know, Bears smack you in the mouth now. I mean, they will smack you in the mouth. Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, say what you like about Mitch Trubisky.
Years ago.
Yeah,
a couple
right?
of years ago when we played the Bears and it got tight. It got tight down there. I think that was Tariq Cohen's, like, what, first year in the league or something like that. But, yeah
that was that opening game in Chicago. Something weird happened at the very end of the game that the Falcons won the game at the very end of the game. And nothing as weird as last week, but, of course, I have to go back and look. But they barely got out of Soldier Field with a win. It is the morning show here. We got a lot to talk about. Certainly the Falcons are going to be on the table all day long. The Braves, we can get into them. Ian Anderson last night, Hugh pitched very well, and it was another good sign. Now we see what Kyle Wright has tonight. If Max Fried is healthy, those three guys look like they are at least, you know, capable of carrying you a little bit. If you have to have you know, some good outings here, maybe we have settled down a three-man rotation at the very least that we could take into the playoffs.
You know, I knew last night that they were talking about the rain delay kind of set everything back, so I didn't get a chance to see it. But because I was watching Fitzmagic last night, John Fricky.
I know, right?
Fitzmagic do his thing last night.
he was, man, right? And I thought, do I get to see Tua tonight? No.
Oh, man, you ain't going to be. You know what? He has, like I always said, he has four games. Where, you know, the four-game rule. You know how it is for Fitzmagic. Four games. So you got at least four games before we figure out, you know, whether or not – before he goes back to who he is. I should say that. Because that's been kind of the knock on him. Like, you give him four games, and then he goes back
it's
to
It's not
him.
Kind of the knock on him. That's the knock on him. Because yeah, it's true.
Last night, he was 11 straight attempts last night. At one point, yeah, he was out there balling out last night. Gardner Minshew looked lost. Uncle Rico looked like he was lost last night.
Yeah, and the Miami Dolphins beat the Jaguars, beat them up too, beat them 31-13. So, Dolphins with a much needed win, and that Jaguars start gets a little stalled as Miami won heavily on that one. But Braves are going to be playing. Here we are. It's the final series of the season, three games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, against the Boston Red Sox are in town. Now, normally, this would be, you know, you wouldn't get a ticket. I mean, even though the Braves have clinched the East, just because the Red Sox are here. And so it would be a big deal in town that the Red Sox are here. But now it's really, let's just see Kyle Wright pitches. It's going to be Wright and then Enoa and Wilson. You know, the series doesn't really matter. The Braves have all but locked down the number two seed. They're two games ahead of the Cubs with three to play. So even though they lost last night, they're probably going to end up the number two seed. Though we have no clue on earth who they're going to play, Hugh. They're going to play the number seven seed. You're number two. You're going to play number seven, right? Listen to this from – this is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Think about how wild this weekend is going to be for these teams. Cincinnati is 6th, okay? Milwaukee is 10th currently in the standings. Cincinnati has, the Reds have 28 losses at 6. Miami has 28 losses for the Reds, 28 losses for Miami, 28 losses for San Francisco, 29 losses for Philadelphia, 29 losses for Milwaukee. That's five teams, 6 through 10, all separated by one loss with three games to go.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, it's going to be – so any of those five, the Braves could play literally any of those five.
Yeah, you know, you talk about like the Phillies, like they're really in a situation where they got to make this happen for them, because their fan base is extremely upset by the way that you know, there's all the money that they've spent and hasn't really panned out for them.
Right, it didn't pan out at all. I mean, what if they miss the playoffs? Oh man, in an expanded playoff, you can't even make that. Yeah, for all the money they spend, you know, Hugh, you're right. I mean, this is, you know, last year they got the really bad, I mean, they get Bryce Harper, and then Bryce's old team wins it all. You know, I mean, and they, you know, they don't sniff anything. And now this year they're not going to sniff anything again. Yeah, I can understand why they'd be mad up in Philadelphia. Right now the Braves would play, I think, San Francisco, I think, in the tiebreakers. And I was thinking about what we were talking about yesterday. Do you want to play somebody like Miami, who you just lost to, or Philadelphia that you know, or do you want to play somebody you haven't seen all year just because you're bored with those teams? I kind of want to play somebody I know, if for no other reason than I think our lineup is so used to the pitchers that Miami or Philadelphia could throw at you, as opposed to seeing somebody brand new. You know what I'm saying?
No, I hear you.
They got the other pitchers scoped out.
You know what? In the playoffs, it don't matter, but I definitely feel where you're coming from. You know, that familiarity thought process. But, yeah, in the playoffs – it doesn't matter, because it's just different. It's always different in the playoffs. But I definitely feel where you're coming from.
By the way, are you good with Lakers-Miami? Because that's probably what you're going to get.
I'm cool with it. I mean, it's just, you know, Eric Spoelstra, happy for him. You know, like I was saying, I was alluding to the fact yesterday, a couple of days ago, that, you know, LeBron, you know, they had a little tete-a-tete when he was down there. And for him to get Jimmy Butler and be in position – to have some success like that, yeah, that's pretty cool.
All right, that gets us kind of just whets our appetite. And the SEC is back and playing football a day before Georgia hits the field. It is a Falcons Friday, a football Friday. We got Falcons, we got Braves, we got United, we've got the SEC, we've got everything going on under the sun. We got a little morning mashup for you, too. We're going to get into all of it. We're going to have big guests all day. We're going to be covering all the football, and going to be a lot of fun. Let's get ready for a big football weekend, big fall weekend on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Morning Mashup. Some of the interesting stories that Abe has been able to find, including what Trey Young said about the future of the Hawks. If you haven't heard this, you got to hear it. Next on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Fairburn.
What's happening?
It's Andy Bunker here from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 10 to 2 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's 6:20 Atlanta. Time for the morning mashup.
Yay! A recap of the biggest stories of the morning with John and Hugh.
Crazy.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's going to be a big weekend on 92.9 The Game. Doubleheader on Sunday. Falcons at 1, United at 7. But right now, the morning mashup. Abe, the producer, jumping into the program. Abe, what is up?
Nobody is happier than I am that it is Friday. That it is, I mean, hopefully my last time coming in for a little while on a weekday. I still got to come in for Wade Ford, of course, but it's a good day, boys. I'm pretty pumped.
You really sound like it. You sound so happy right about now. You sound real happy.
And
right
I know
about
that
now.
Oren's excited to get back, and we're excited to have him come back. I mean, heck, he's out there texting me, you know, trivial crap or whatever he's texting at 5:15 in the morning. But whatever. I mean, he's up. He's up and ready to go. He's raring. So
I mean, when you're used to getting up at this time in the morning, man, I mean, it's kind of hard to back in.
No, okay. It's not, okay. Hugh. Because okay. If I didn't get up right now, I'd be – well, the dog would still get me up. But there would be no waking up at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. nor 4 a.m. I wouldn't be up at 5 a.m. You can count 6 o'clock out. Maybe in the 7 o'clock hour, the dog would get me up. But I promise you, I ain't waking up by accident at 3:30 in the morning.
You're point is made.
Thank you, sir.
I was wrong. I mean, you made a strong argument. I promise you.
I was wrong.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. You know, it's always been interesting as I've done mornings. I don't know about you guys, but I've done mornings for, gosh, you know, that's, you know, more ever since I've been in radio. I even did it in television for a long time, and I'm really not a morning person. I'm a guy that goes to bed at 1 a.m. normally. I mean, when I'm, you know, that's when my body clock says, okay, it's time for you to go to bed, 1 a.m. Are you a late night owl, Hugh, or are you an early morning riser?
I'm a night owl. I can be a little bit of a night owl.
Me too.
At times. So yeah, I'm kind of like that. That's me.
I mean, Abe, are you one of these people that, like, my dad, you know, is been long retired, but my dad goes to bed at 8:30 every night, gets up at 4:30 every morning. He's been retired. I'm like, okay, Dad, whatever, you know.
Yeah, he's in a routine, like, right. He's in a serious routine. Yeah,
this is gonna come. I'm sure you'll find this not weird at all. I am both a night owl and a early bird gets the worm. I struggle in the midday. Like, between, like, noon and 6, I'm dragging big time, no matter what. But I like to be up late, and I'm pretty good getting up and getting going in the mornings.
So. Well, that will change when you get married.
Which part of it? The midday?
The midday thing, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that honey-do list is real, okay? Just say it.
Oh, yeah, you're going, oh, yeah, you get to do stuff? You got to do stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, you're not taking a nap. No.
I'll take my naps. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
I'll get my naps. I'll find a way.
Fact is, Denver Nuggets are about to take a nap, too. Here's the morning mashup.
Yeah, they are. Lakers. Last night, Lakers-Denver. Game 4, Eastern Conference Finals.
Up top court, Davis, too easy. Anthony Davis on the lob. Set up beautifully by Rondo. Davis has scored the last 8 Laker points, and it's a 5-point Laker lead. Murray for 3. No, there's Davis with the rebound, and that should do it. The Los Angeles Lakers are going to take a 3-1 series lead in the Western Conference Finals.
And, of course, as soon as I tell you I'm great in the mornings, I then say that the Lakers-Nuggets are playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, that is the Western Conference Finals. Guys, the series is what it is, but the idea of LeBron going back to the finals with another team in his first year, I mean, look, it doesn't matter what Jordan did and how many straight he went to and some of the other records, you know, Bill Russell and whatever. The fact that LeBron can kind of just go anytime he wants to the finals is astonishing to me. I'm never going to lose out on the idea that he's jumped teams as often as he has. And yeah, he struggled to win them sometimes in the first year. Didn't win the first one with the Heat. You know, who knows what's to be said here for the Lakers. But the fact that he keeps getting back there with new teams, now 4 for 4, if you count the Cavs twice, that's just super impressive to me.
I think so, too. I mean, but you know what? There's always going to be the ones that, you know, talk about the fact that, you know, he didn't win everyone that he was in and Michael Jordan did and things of that nature, which I think is kind of crazy because, you know, as a former athlete, to get to the playoffs and get to the championship in any sport is a huge feat. It's a huge feat. And for you to try to diminish it like that, to me, I would never understand. But, yeah, for him to have the level of excellence that he's played with for as long as he played with it, I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, the Lakers are just one of the reasons. Like, everybody's hated if you win. We understand that. I mean, Alabama's hated right now because they win. New England Patriots are hated because they won. If you're the winning team, you're hated. And the Lakers have been hated because they're the winning franchise. I mean, you don't hate the Knicks, do you? No, cause why? Because the Knicks suck.
The only people that hate the Knicks are Knicks fans, I think.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, so the Lakers are
hated.
Love-hate
situation with the Knicks fans.
You know. And there's this sense that the Lakers buy championships like the Yankees buy championships. Okay, well, you know, again.
I mean, if you got the bread, what's wrong with that?
I mean, I'm trying to make that point. I mean, when you have a franchise that does what the Lakers have done, you know, you start thinking about the greatest franchises. Yeah, what San Antonio did over the years, but the Lakers have been doing this since 1965, okay, with a whole host of, I mean, nonstop. I mean, they have one. Remember the Eldon Campbell years, Dale Davis? I mean, they had a couple of years there, Nick Van Exel.
I remember Nick Van Exel. Yeah, I was about to say, I remember Nick Van Exel. I remember him.
I mean, their longest stretch has probably been this one, right? the end of the Kobe era, no playoffs, and then finally LeBron shows up.
Right.
It's
eight or
10 years between playoffs. That may not be the right number, but it's been a couple years between playoff series for them. But, yeah, I mean, they've been constantly on the forefront. You're right.
Yep. Would the Atlanta Hawks be in that kind of position? You know, and that's all we ask. You know, just let's start making the playoffs, right?
Well, and there's two ways to build the team, John, right? You could go out and pay Anthony Davis, pay LeBron James, or you can do what the Hawks are doing, and that is draft well, surround them by some key veterans, hopefully get a young prospect like a Clint Capella, who is still young with a ton of experience, playoff experience, bring them in. And build around a young superstar like you have in Trae Young. Trae Young speaking yesterday, the Hawks were left out of the playoffs, and they had to sit at home. Didn't even get to Orlando, even in a non-playoff situation. No 8-game season for them like we saw some other teams. And Trae Young took that a little bit personally, and he expressed his feelings on that yesterday.
Yeah, I don't ever want to not be in the playoffs again. This is something that, I mean, going through a rebuilding stage is going to happen. It's going to take years to grow together and be together for it to really click. And, now we're at that point now where we're going into year three. Our chemistry is there. We're starting to learn different things, talk even more. And it's hopefully it clicks. So that's what I'm hoping going into this year.
These comments are interesting to me, John, because there's no doubt that Trae Young is the leader of the team. But this, to me, is the first time I've really heard him speak about the weight of the expectations, understanding where the team is at and where they need to be next year. Mm-hmm. To me, this is a big step in his role with the Hawks, in kind of how people view him, I think, around the league if they pay attention. This is some impressive stuff. The comments from Trae Young really impressed me.
I mean, I'm with you on that. I mean, it has to not saying that he hasn't done that, but the actions have to, match what he's saying, And I think that, it's great. Fans love to hear that. No question about it. It's great to hear that. But the actions have to match that. Not saying that they don't. I don't want anybody to think I'm sitting here trying to take a stab at it, but I'm just saying, moving forward, you want to see – leadership actions.
And John, maybe you feel differently, but I've always felt that Trae has been a leader on the floor with his play. He's whatever he's doing, and he's getting in the highlight films, and he's got the nickname, and he's got the swag and all that. This is one of the first times I've seen him become a leader with the comments. This is in the public. I don't know what he does within the team in the locker room, but to me, this is just a massive, massive step forward for him in his growth.
If Hawks are going to be challenged, we all understand that they're going to be now. If they don't play till January, which is what they're talking about now, it'll be almost 10 months since they played a game for a franchise this young. This is why it was so wrong what the NBA did to them. But all right, so they did. Now we see what happens, and I'm not expecting a whole lot next season, Hugh. It's the season after. Next season, okay, fine. It'll be what it's going to be. And then Tony Russell is going to open up the pot. He's
got
money.
You want to get there next year.
Well, I know, but you do want to get there. I get that. And they're going to make adjustments. You're going to see, additional players bought in. Hopefully you don't lose your 20, one of your star players for 25 games, because he does something silly. I mean, again, we talked about whether franchises take steps. I need to see the Hawks take that next step to being at least a contender to be a contender. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that, John. I mean, it's a process, especially when you're talking about building the team the way that we're building the team. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Real quick, want to get this last one in, John, and we don't even have to react, but it's some pretty good sound. I'll give you guys a quick chance. But the Padres are back in the playoffs, or will be. Not sure who they're playing yet. One of their analysts, Mark Mudcat Grant, had some comments early in the week after the Padres reserved their spot in the postseason.
I didn't think I was going to react this way, but this is incredible. It's just been too long. Mark Sweeney wore the uniform. He knows what it's like. And since 2006-14, I didn't think I was going to react this way, for the love of Pete. I mean, I'm just so happy for those guys down there. And it's been too long. And a lot of it's emotional because just sick and tired of other teams beating up on the Friars. And for them to win today and clinch a spot, it's really, really special.
Is he crying?
It is. Yeah, well.
He's tearing up, getting a little emotional. Not a full cry.
I mean, Mark's a friend of mine, and I've known him a long time. And he's a good man. And, yeah, he's just, it touched him a little bit because he's had to fight some wars out there. And if you're in San Diego, you are little brother to L.A. and everything. And you get sick and tired of it.
So he cried. He was crying.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, Mark's aww, that kind of guy. I like Mark. Mark's a good dude. You know.
I'm just kidding, John. I get it. I just find it funny when somebody else is doing it besides me.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
Hugh Douglas.
You know,
be real. Be real.
I just said.
Be real.
I said when somebody did it besides me.
Don't lie. Hey, don't lie. You tear up when the Eagles finally won one. I heard that. I heard the sigh. You told me. That's all right. Let's go to break, boys.
Hey, college football. SEC is standby for action, and now welcome in some other latecomers. We'll tell you what the landscape looks like as of today, and we'll do that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide. Oh, and by the way, anybody can go to a bowl. Anybody. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Imagine you like listening to John and Hugh. Now imagine bringing them with you anywhere with the Radio.com app. Download our app and listen anytime to any show.
Or stream on your smart device.
You can even rewind up to 24 hours and catch things you missed.
Download the Radio.com app now from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on this Friday. College football, a big Friday night football, by the way, we should say. To all of you out there, I know that we had some high school football last night. Looks like just a gorgeous night for high school football in and around Metro Atlanta and throughout the South, and hopefully anywhere you're listening to us on radio.com. Big Saturday ahead of college football. We'll get into all that in just a moment, but the big college football news from yesterday is that we all know that the Big Ten, you know, came back, and now the Pac-12 has come back, and the Mountain West Conference has come back. They're kind of Johnny-come-lately. So Pac-12 is not even going to start till November, and they're only going to play six games. Hugh, which would say that we talked about this yesterday with the Big Ten, you know, playing less games than the SEC affected in terms of getting its champion into the playoff. If the Pac-12 is only going to play six games, their champion is only going to play seven. There's just no way, I think, even at a 7-0, that you can invite the Pac-12 champion into a playoff. I just,
you know what, John, and I know we shall see. Because I think that the Pac-12, they do carry a little bit of weight when it comes to that. So we shall see how they handle that. It's going to be interesting to see how the college playoff committee, you know, looks at their schedule and looks at you know, how important it is for them to be there and things of that nature. So we shall see.
We shall see. A busy college. Oh, by the way, they also made another announcement yesterday. We don't know yet what bowl games are going to be played, who's going to play bowl games. There are going to be some bowl games. There may be quite a few bowl games that suddenly pop up. A lot of bowl committees are sitting around waiting probably to the last minute to see, you know, whether or not teams can travel and things of that nature. And, yeah, well, I understand that. But because of the nature of the weird schedules, the Pac-12 is going to play a six-game season. The Big Ten is going to play an eight-game season. The SEC is going to play a 10-game season. The Sun Belt, I think, is playing like 11 or 12. There are going to be no restrictions on bowl games for this year. Hugh, you could be 1-5 and make a bowl game. You get a bowl. You get a bowl. Everybody gets a bowl.
You mean Ofer show, huh? Giving everybody a card. Yeah, you get a book. Yeah, good times.
Yeah, it used to be a big thing when you made a bowl game. It was a reward for a good season. Only a few teams got to go. A handful of teams. You had to have a pretty good year to get to a bowl. I mean, you weren't at least 7-4. You weren't making a bowl. 6-5, you didn't make a bowl. Now, anybody.
So not trying to be, you know, that guy, but it's a good chance that that Tech might make a bowl.
Since everybody can make a bowl. Yeah. You know, I mean, they may just make up bowl games suddenly out of thin air, you know. Somebody doesn't have a bowl game, they'll say, hey, we got a sponsor for another game at your stadium. It just becomes an extra game, that's all.
That's fine. I mean, you know what? Take whatever you can get at this point. I mean, I think it would be cool to see. It would definitely be cool to see. And no way, shape, or form was that trying to be disrespectful either, though.
I mean, you could end up with 65 or 70 bowl games this year for no other reason than I think a lot of schools are going to want to try and make up some money lost, especially if we've gotten to a point where pretty much everybody or everybody is allowing fans in the stadium. We'll see. All right, so we get the schedule here. We're going to talk about the SEC in a moment. Everything begins tomorrow at noon. By the way, Georgia Tech plays tomorrow at noon. They're on the road at Syracuse for the Jackets. But the SEC kicks off at noon tomorrow, Hugh. The first two games that will be kicking off, Florida at Ole Miss and Kentucky at Auburn. That Kentucky-Auburn, probably the best game on the schedule in terms of a matchup, and a really intriguing game because Auburn is one of those teams, Hugh, with Bo Nix. Lost a lot of guys. You know, we know about the defensive line guys that they lost. Mm-hmm. And some people are, and you know, they're lost their star running back and whatnot. He transferred. Is a Bobby Whitlow. We're not sure what to make of Auburn. And so some people have him finishing second to Alabama, and some have him finishing fifth. Nobody really knows where Auburn kind of slots in into the SEC West.
Yeah, but, you know, the second season for the young quarterback, I think that they'll be fine. You know, because that's the one position that when you look at it, John, if you have that solidified in college football, especially in the SEC, you got a chance. And I think that they have a pretty good one in Bo Nix.
So, noon, Florida, which is now favored by the media to win the East with Kyle Trask, a quarterback, at Ole Miss in the first-ever game for Lane Kiffin. That'll be interesting. Then the first-ever game for Mike Leach is Mississippi State at LSU. Welcome to the SEC, Mike. Mississippi State at LSU, right? That'll be interesting. Be a lot of fun. I don't know what LSU's going to have this year.
Were you asking?
No, I'm just making a comment here. I just don't know what LSU's going to have this year.
okay. No, because Yeah,
3:30 kick for that one. Then 4 o'clock, Hugh, UGA at Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. I mean, the earlier games I'll probably tune into, you know, flick a few channels, move around a little bit. But, yeah, that's the one I'm going to be tuned into. Because DeJuan Mathis, I think he's the one that's going to be under center, more than likely, correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of what I've been going with. I went with that one this morning, so I think that's going to be the case.
And Felipe Franks starts for Arkansas. UGA at Arkansas, the Dogs, 4 o'clock kick, heavy favorites in this game. And I, you know, whether the Dogs go out there and win by, you know, 30, which I think Dogs fans are expecting, or Hugh, whether they win by 10 and just look good. I mean, at this point, just get your season rolling because everybody will forget what the game looks like. Just get a W because when you're talking about your next games are going to be, what is it, Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, something like that. And I forget who between Auburn and Alabama. Anyway, the point is that it's brutal.
Yeah, it's going to be you got to run that gauntlet. I know what you're saying. Yeah, definitely.
Then Alabama opens against Missouri. That's a 7 o'clock game on tomorrow night. So we'll see what Alabama has. They got Dylan Moses back. They've got Mac Jones at quarterback.
Who?
And not Bryce Young. And so Alabama heavily favored over Mizzou in that game. And then the late starts 7:30. Vanderbilt at Texas A&M. And Tennessee at South Carolina. That's actually a really interesting game, Tennessee at South Carolina. Is Tennessee really going to be back? And Tennessee historically kind of got a little Falcons in them. They're slow starters. We know that from last year because of what happened with Georgia State. But Tennessee at the end of last year was fine. And so a lot of Tennessee fans are buying into Tennessee being a top 15 team this year, but they've got to go on the road. You got to play at South Carolina. And a lot of pressure on Gamecocks to actually make a bowl this year, though 3-7 might make you a bowl. But interesting game between Tennessee and South Carolina. So here we go with the SEC, Hugh, and should be a lot of fun. Georgia and Alabama in a couple of weeks in a regular season game, and Georgia, Florida ahead. I'm going to be really interested to see how all this plays out and whether or not Georgia can settle the issue at quarterback. I think for them, that's kind of the big key. Can you decide on a quarterback? Who do you decide on, and how well does he do?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, DeJuan Mathis, if he's going to be the starter this weekend, which it looks like he is because JT Daniels is not ready, I think that he could do himself a huge favor by going out there and playing well. You know, I know it, you know, no disrespect to Arkansas. Got to say that because I don't want anybody to think that I think that this game is a cakewalk, because no game is a cakewalk. But if you go out there and you have a strong showing, you can make your case. And you know, it's the funny thing about stuff like that, John. When you're in a position where you have to get cleared to play, it's amazing how sometimes, not saying that it's going to be like this in this situation, but sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get cleared to play than other times. If the young quarterback is playing well at that position, or the guy that's in front of you at that position is playing well. Just saying.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to see what happens with these teams and with the SEC coming back in, and you get a chance, Hugh, to see you know, Dwan Mathis or Zeus, you get to see, you know, this defense, which, you know, again, everything's only on paper, but the Georgia defense, you could be some kind of serious.
I mean, on paper. Yeah,
Kobe
but you know,
Dean
on paper.
These guys, I know.
But listen, I mean, you know who else looked good on paper? Atlanta Falcons. Looked good on paper initially, beginning of the season.
Yeah. You know? I'm thinking Georgia probably cover an outside kick. I'm just saying, you know. Yeah. Do I have to go back to this, or can I just move along here and go to the Bears game? And maybe you beat the Bears, and then we're talking about, let's change the headline here. How about that?
Probably going to take a little bit more to beat the Bears, but it's a start, John.
We beat the Bears, and now we're looking forward to Aaron Rodgers. It'll be Monday Night Football. Not that somebody won't be out there saying.
You're looking forward to that smoke, huh?
What? Aaron Rodgers smoke?
Yeah.
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is probably not looking forward to the Falcons smoke. Falcons
really, John,
beat
that's
the
what
hell
you're
out
going
of him
with?
Over
hey,
his
yeah.
career.
Yeah. That's what you're going with? What happened in the past?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers runs scared of the Falcons.
Okay.
Yeah, go back to some of those beatdowns he's had by the Falcons.
Okay. I'm with you.
That's what I'm rolling with anyway. You just stay with me here, okay?
I know, John. I just like, you know, it's cute.
It is a Falcons Friday. So are the Falcons' keys to the game and what they're saying now ahead of the game against the Bears. We have that, and we'll pick Q's brain about what he thinks is going to happen Sunday next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.